pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, this is the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I'm your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my amazing friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman, Laird Jeff Bell.
Fuck a bunch of math. Just fuck it. I'll talk about it later, but I'm done with math. No, I'm not. I got another week.
What flavor of math are they forcing you to take?
We've been doing all sorts of great math. We did some geometry this week, which I did better at than I did algebra.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of run-on equations and stacked equations and figuring out your fucking parallel lines, your intersecting lines and all of that. And all I can think to myself is, you know, I can figure out what the fuck the angle is because I've been building my whole life. So I don't really have a problem with that. So I thought this would be a little easier than it was, but it's like, why do I have to do 10 minutes of algebra to figure out that I need a 45, you know, two 45s to make a 90? They're like, this'll, you know, is going to be important in your life. And I'm like, no, I've never written numbers down like this. I've never needed to. If worse comes to worse, I ask Google.
Having a high school senior this year, I'm having this conversation a lot. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. You're going to need this in your life. No, you're not. Never. Unless you go into a field that is absolute 100% mathematics, you know, algebra, trigonometry, calculus, none of that shit is gonna show up in your world at all. Geometry, yeah. But you don't need formulas to figure out geometry most of the time. You just need a tape measure and a brain.
Right? And I don't know how, your guys' kids are older, and so I don't know how they were in high school, but mine know that they don't need this. And so it's like doubly hard to get them to try and do it.
Oh, yeah. No shit.
So,
yeah.
Jeff, I kind of feel your pain, buddy.
It's, you know what? My kids were going through the new math when I was helping them. And so we were learning it together, math. And I got it. For the first time in my life, and it was simple shit, make no mistake, but it was like, this speaks in English to me finally, which is weird because the only other time I felt the I got it was watching a news report of math being taught in Japan, and it was in Japanese, and I was just watching the guy work on the board, and I was like, hey, that's how that works.
Ah. Right?
Yeah, the American education system is garbage.
I'll catch I'll catch those occasionally in reels where somebody's doing a math problem. They're like, this is how you know, somebody who doesn't know math does it. Here's how somebody who does know math does it. And I'm like, that's so much fucking easier. Why wouldn't I, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing
I'm watching the person who doesn't know math do it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's how I did it, you know. Or maybe they do lattice. And I'm like, okay, that's how my kid learned how to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, then I see, you know, actual mathematicians doing it. I'm like, really, that's all I need to fucking do? I want to go back in time and kick the shit out of every math teacher who made me do long, you know, show your work with all the long process. I'm like, I probably could have done that when I was 7, when I was 12, when I was 16. I could have done that easily.
Yeah.
No. Last year, to get my degree in college, I had to pass algebra. One algebra course. That was, guess what the last course was I took in college?
Algebra?
Yeah. And guess what I got?
I got a D. C. Oh, a D.
I got a D. I still got my fucking credit hour. I got my fucking diploma. That was all I cared about. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to pass this fucking class with anything less than a C. And when I was like, oh, fuck, I'm failing math. I'm going to have to retake. I'm not going to graduate this term. And all of a sudden I was like, I took a test and they're like, oh, now it's a D. I'm like,
I'll take a D.
Yep, we're done. I'll take it.
Wow.
I don't.
When I was
GPA, fuck that. You know.
When I was working on my first on my bachelor's degree way back in the day in Colorado, I had carnal relations with the TA and got a C.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I've never until this month, I have never had to do math past pre-algebra. And that's the thing is I lack the common vocabulary of the early shit because I wasn't paying attention and because a football coach was my math teacher and he was just, you know, this is how you do it. Do it. Show your work. And that's it. It wasn't ever explained. So it's just like they draw out the equations and I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to know what to do at this point? They're just like, it works like this. No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry. We're in our 50s. High school was a long, long fucking time ago.
Yeah, that's the thing is everybody...
As I have learned for, you know, this year working on the reunion committee, next year will be 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It was high school. So, yeah.
No, I'm like, in class with a bunch of children. They're all in their early 20s, late teens. And
they're like, oh, I remember this from 5 years ago or 2 years ago or last year in high school.
Yep. Yep. Anyway. Math.
Yeah. What do you say we stop talking about our love of math and jump into something fun, something less fun? Let's do some comic book news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I think talking about math is fine. I mean, we've got sort of a geek culture going, and geeks are supposed to be able to do math.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Well, geeks, nerds can do math. Geeks are usually people like us who are obsessed with a certain genre.
Yeah, so, that's fair. You're fair. That's fair. Common vocabulary. Digital comic sales are still only about 5 to 10% of print. It's a pretty busy space in digital comics these days. We've got lots of different distributors. Global Comics, Neon, Ichiban, Sweet Shop. They're all trying to get, you know, their portion of you know, the industry as comic centric alternatives to the garbage pile that is Comixology.
Right.
But you know what?
Well, the garbage pile that's Comixology is Amazon. So that's the garbage pile, period. But guess what? It goes on my Kindle app on my tablet and I can read it just fine. So
yeah, fair.
And for the price of one comic book every month, I think I get a 15% discount on my a 10% discount on all my comics on Comixology. So if I subscribe, and I do, because I'm like, well, I want the whole fucking series. I don't read one issue, you know, necessarily.
How do you have your setup when you're reading? Because here's my issue with reading digital comics is that I can't look at the entire page in detail. Right. So do you preview that and then zoom in and then like zoom back out before you turn the page to try and get that same feel?
Yes. So what I do is I go panel to panel. So a new page comes up, I get the first panel, I go through each panel, and then it shows me the whole page so I can appreciate the art. The only time that, and if it's a two-page spread, it's really good because it'll give me all the panels and then give me the whole page. So, there are times, especially on a tablet, that I can still just read the whole thing. But there are moments where I need to be zoomed in because I'm old, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to have readers on to read anything, so...
I have my readers on, and I still need to zoom in. That's all there is to it.
Fair.
Yeah.
All
right. Anyway, it's flat.
Yeah.
The growth rate is flat.
And it's weird, because I thought more people were getting digital, but I guess not. Which is why we still get floppies.
Yeah.
You know, if the way to read individual comics was digital, and then we basically put out trades of what you read digitally, the market would still work, and people would still make money in the market. I don't even know if there's a percentage deal for independent creators off of digital sales, though. So I don't know how that works. I'd have to talk to Doug because I've never asked him if he gets anything from digital sales. Because I'm looking at that, I'm like, well, I guess I've got to do digital sales because we can't get a distribution deal now that Diamond went tits up. So where are we going to find a... We got to find a distributor and...
I believe the way we're supposed to say that now is breasts uplifted.
Breasts uplifted. There we go.
Yeah. Tits is a derogatory term, and so we're just...
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's a British term. Yes.
Oh, yes. Breasts uplifted. Quite.
Yes.
let's see. What else do we have? A new dark chapter in Wolverine's past will be revealed in the Origin 3 limited series. Back in 2001, Marvel Comics did the unthinkable when it decided to provide the definitive backstory once and for all for the man with no memory, Wolverine. Miniseries Origin was Bill Jamis, Joe Quesada, and Paul Jenkins with Andy Kubert. The tragic past of the man simply known as Logan was finally revealed to readers, as well as his real name, James Howlett. I have read that one, but I haven't read two.
I haven't read Origin 2. When I saw this was Origin 3, I'm like,
what?
Missed Origin 2?
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Yep. Yeah. This is going to be a 5-issue limited series. It's going to drop in December of 2026. This isn't the first time Marvel's gone back to the Wolverine origin well. The 2013 Origin 2, that's probably why I missed it, explored the character's first encounter with Sabretooth. Ah, Sabretooth.
That's why I missed it.
Jacuz. Sabretooth.
Sabretooth.
So that's coming in December. And then you guys might recall that Warren Ellis got himself in a little bit of hot water by disrespecting ladies and acting like a perverted jerk.
We devoted almost an entire episode to that. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Me too with Warren Ellis. And although he wasn't as bad of an offender as some, he was still an offender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, he was an unmitigated semi-grooming ass clown who say this with all the seriousness I can, who didn't rape anybody, and that's the only reason why I'm giving him even 3 minutes of time on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he was just a creepy fucker.
Yeah, he was a creepy fucker, but everything was consensual, so, and between adults. He wasn't a pedo in any way. But, I mean, and there wasn't a situation like Gaiman where it was employer-employee either.
Yeah, he was just a complete and utter predator of fans.
Yeah, he was completely a predator of fans.
Yes, we guys.
I just, you guys, it's just bad. When you start dismissing any other scenario, it wasn't as bad as this. You're just saying that it's okay to get away with it. Like, it's all bad.
Let us finish. So, Image brought Warren Ellis on to do a new graphic novella called Ghost Drive Station.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Ellis put out the following... As the internet went, wait, what the fuck? And I was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warren Ellis is allowed to write another book again?
Yeah. He said, a few people have asked me about past events in my life. It's not my place to pick at it in public or speak for others. I will say that I got to apologize directly to a group of people and offer amends, which I remain very grateful for. And I keep that door open. Sounds to me there wasn't any forgiveness in that group. I learned a lot and still am. I fucked up in a number of ways over the years, and it doesn't matter that I never acted with malice in mind. I hurt people. I'm sorry, and I'm trying to do better every day. That's all I have to say for now. That's not enough for me to buy your new book, sport. And I was a huge Warren Ellis fan.
Yeah.
No, you know, the same way. Yeah. The same way I was a Gaiman fan. And I'm just done. I'm done. This is just a way for Image to lose some money trying to resurrect the name of a guy who really needs to be kept away from fandom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a predator.
He's a very talented writer whom I'm like, hopefully you made enough money in residuals off your previous books, because I don't want to support you. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
At all.
Same.
Yeah. I like the I'm keeping the door open. My read of him saying I'm keeping the door open was, so I apologize to a group of them, but there's a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because there was a lot. And I mean, there wasn't a con where he didn't have, like, if he's a 3-day con, he probably slept with 6 women. And he was married at the time. So, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know how he's even still married. I don't know if he is, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's creepy. It's, there ought to be a school where successful people go to learn how to be human. Because it gets in your head, it makes you think stupid thoughts and do stupid things. And
you have an expectation of privilege.
Privilege.
We saw that with Tiger Woods. We've seen that with other people. And it's like, dude.
It is male privilege. It is absolutely male privilege.
It is absolutely male privilege. But there's something about being successful that lends to that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Jocelyn, I everything you said, 100% on board, agree with you. You're great. We weren't letting him off, as it were.
We weren't trying to equivocate him. We were just saying, okay, well, this happened and this didn't happen, but still.
Yeah, he's just not a cannibal like the Epstein files.
Right.
You know? Right. I mean, it's like years ago when this happened, the perspective was that. Now we find out that there were children being murdered and eaten by rich people. You're kind of like, well, you're an asshole, and I don't support you, but at least you didn't eat anybody.
That's true. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, say hi to Armie Hammer for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't wish you dead, just don't want to buy your book anymore.
I just don't want you around my kids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But I want Elon around my kids even less.
Yeah. True.
You know?
True.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the news, gang.
Woof. That was rough.
That'll be a fun clip.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Let's talk about what we've been reading this last week. Joss?
You guys, maybe I feel super in tune with standing my ground because I read Captain America this week. I was sorting through my comic books, trying to get some organization in this dump, and was like, I am so far behind, I don't even know where this started. So it's the Straczynski run. It was great. I've read those issues before. But yeah, I'm just going to do a quick reread of what I've got. So good times for me. How about you, Jeff? Anything of note that you read this week?
Fucking math. That is all I've read this week is math. I've dabbled. I've touched. I've flirted with a little bit of Dresden. But the truth is that when we're doing marketing homework, I'm about an hour a day. Mm-hmm. When we're doing math homework, I am 4 to 5 hours a day doing it. And then the rest of that is trying and failing to make any fucking money. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm about to lose my car.
Oh,
this unemployment shit is great.
Isn't it fantastic?
Yep. Yep. Having a great day.
Then they repo it and then you still owe the money. But you don't get to have the car.
Oh, no, that's the worst part. I am so close to paying this goddamn thing off. I'm about 4 months away.
Oh, fuck. We got to get you some money.
Yeah, it was a 6-year loan, and we are at 6.5 years. So at this point, I'm just paying off interest. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's the part they like because they've been calling.
Mm. Oh, that's the part they love. Interest.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you been reading, buddy?
Let's see. We had Nightwing 141. This, I think is the wrap up for the Bloodhaven horror stories, but it opened the door to there's something else going on that Nightwing needs to deal with. Good issue with basically a conversation between him and Manhunter because she's a lawyer and he was about to turn himself in at the courthouse and she's like, don't do it. Don't do it. She's like, remember, you've got a father and brothers who have secret identities, and you're going to put all of them in jeopardy as well. He's like, yeah, but I got to do the right thing. And then things work out for him, but don't work out for him at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a really weird moment, and I was like, oh, okay. I'm interested to see where Dan Waters and Dennis Cohen take it now. And then Avengers Armageddon number 3.
Yeah.
Wolverine joins the team, joins the fray. or, well, he's already in the fray, but now he gets to, it's actually a big deal because, let's see, last issue, they took on the Red Hulk with the help of Coulson, who Chip Zdarsky introduced us to in the pages of Captain America when he started writing that. Because Coulson was the replacement Captain America from the year 2001, because the Marvel universe that we know has only existed for 20 years, and so they have to age it every 20 years. So Captain America was found in the ice in probably 2020, apparently. So to get it right. But anyway, yeah, Wolverine had given Coulson one of those boxes that Miles Morales brought back from the Ultimate Universe that gives people powers.
Oh.
And apparently he gave him like the greatest powers ever. So he's Sentry. He gave him Sentry powers. And Coulson is basically, this whole book is this, that escalated quickly. Coulson has decided to disarm the entire world of nuclear weapons. So it's very much Superman, the quest for peace, Superman 4, the quest for peace. But in this case, everybody's like, who elected you to take all this away? Who elected you to do it? And in doing so, he pisses off the wrong country, of course. And again, that escalated quickly. So we're going to see how things go from here. But yeah, Zdarsky. Wow. I don't know what the fuck else to say. That's some crazy shit.
Fucker just keeps getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's just going to keep ramping up until we get to Avengers number one. And then I don't even know. I don't know where we're going to be. I just know who's on the Avengers team. And I'm questioning Daredevil, but that's only because Bendis told us Daredevil didn't like being on teams. But that doesn't mean that's the case, right?
Depends who's writing him.
Said so. Yeah. Yeah, he's writing him. And this time it's Zdarsky, who is one of the best Daredevil writers we've had. So, you know.
Such a good run. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to have Spider-Man. He's going to have Wolverine. He's going to have Captain Marvel. Yeah, it's going to be a good team. And with that, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we're giving our picks.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss. Start us out. What are you looking forward to this week?
I'm going to qualify this and say I'm not sure I'm looking forward to it as much as it was about the only thing I found from Marvel this week. It's what if X-Men? What if Cassandra Nova killed Professor X in a world where Cassandra Nova killed Charles Xavier in the womb telepaths are hunted and experimented on, and what she's making from them is far worse than what she's taking.
Did she eat
them? When telepaths Jean Grey and Emma Frost escape, Cassandra Nova will stop at nothing to bring them back. Sure. I don't know. I have a hard time with...
Killing him in the womb, but no, that was a thing.
I know.
That was Grant Morrison. When he introduced Cassandra Nova, it turned out she not only tried to kill Charles in the womb, she continued to try to kill him throughout his life, so his parents sent her away. And when he died, she got the inheritance of the mansion and everything, so she showed up and took over the X-Men. It was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. My issue is just I try so hard to like the X-Men in comic books. Mm-hmm. And I just struggle because there are entirely too many X-Men for me to keep track of. So, but I do like this idea. I liked when we saw Cassandra Nova in Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, mm-hmm. I thought that was a fun character. So, sure, I'll pick up the comic and give it a read because why not? Yeah. And then, you guys, if you have not been reading Absolute Wonder Woman, Kelly Thompson is still writing it. We are getting a new story arc, so you can still jump in. This is Absolute Wonder Woman number 23 from DC. You just have to accept that her origin story is slightly different, and you can jump right into this. Diana is returning, and she's back from the underworld with more than justice on her mind. But what she finds is not what she expects. Neither is life in Gateway, as a new threat is rising. Unfortunately, Diana recognizes this particular threat. The gods themselves have come to Gateway City. So we're getting absolute Aries now out of our Wonder Woman.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm excited. It'll be good.
Honestly, really, I would highly recommend anyone who wants to read Absolute Wonder Woman. You can pick up the trade of issues 1-6. Mm-hmm. And that will give you a good starting point, and then you can jump into the regular series at any point that you want to.
Yeah.
That. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great story, though. How about you, Jeff? What you got?
Mainstream. DC's putting out a 40th anniversary version of Batman, The Dark Knight Returns. This is before Frank Miller went off the fucking ledge. and I still just love this goddamn book. So, if you haven't read it, or if you loaned out a copy and never got it back, there's a 40th anniversary version coming out. You might want to think about picking that up. What else did we get? Tomb of Apocalypse, number one. I love Oscar Isaacs. So,
fair.
Like you said, there were very slim pickings in the comics this week.
Right.
And yeah. I'm like, Tomb of Apocalypse? So okay, I can pretend I'm going to buy that. You know? I don't know who Ashley Allen is, but I will support women writers unless it's a dude.
I was just going to say.
I do know a dude named Ashley, so.
I do as well.
Yeah. Because apparently her parents are assholes, but what are you going to do? Like I said, mine just lacked creativity. They went, what's the most popular name this year? Jeff? Okay, let's go with that. White people. Anyway, what about you? What are your picks?
So a few months ago, Saladin Ahmed and Julius Oda, in the pages of Wolverine, introduced these three dudes who just showed up. They sort of showed up to help Wolverine fight against the adamantine, that it was going to kill him. And, you know, when he broke his claws and all that stuff on the adamantine. And they showed up and they helped him fight it. These three dudes, they're all, you know, about 5'6", all fairly stocky. One's a cowboy. One's a beast of a dude with, you know, hair that sweeps up on the sides. He's got a snaggle tooth that comes up over his lip, you know, and then the other is a samurai. And I'm like, could you be more fucking obvious who these guys are? You know, anyway, they're back. They're going to come back this issue with Wolverine number 26, The Return of the Savage Champions. But this time they need Wolverine's help. I'm like, they're fucking Wolverine. They're each an aspect of Wolverine. how are we? Why are you playing this game? If you have half a brain, you can look at those three guys and go, "That's it. That's the three aspects of Wolverine." You know, the redneck cowboy, the beast, and the samurai. That's Wolverine.
It's true. It's true.
So yeah. Anyway, that's gonna be fun, I guess. But what's gonna be fun for me really, from Vertigo, DC Vertigo, we have Black Tower: The Raven Conspiracy. Dun dun dun. Occult warfare is a fantasy, or is it what they want you to think? 23-year-old Darren Burroughs out of Audubon, Pennsylvania, is a gifted rookie sent under the guise of diplomatic aide to train with Division 9, an obscure, outdated, and easily dismissed arm of British intelligence that specializes in dealing with paranormal incidents. So it's sort of Hellboy in the DC universe, I would guess, only probably without, well, maybe they will have a big demon that helps them. I don't know.
Good question.
What this is going to be like. But it also has a vibe of The Invisibles. It's written by Rom V, whom I love all of his work, and illustrated by Mike Perkins, who it's going to look fucking great. So I'm like, this is going to be a great book. I feel like it's Hellboy meets The Invisibles. And I'm like, I'm all for it. Let's give it a shot. Let's see, from Indie Picks Wise, from Image Comics, I grabbed this because Josh had picked my pick, so I backed off on it, and we were a little surprised you didn't grab this pick when Josh gets to it, but my pick is from Rick Remender and Steve Epting. Okay, I'm in it for Steve Epting. Hammer Fist, number one. Meet Mike Denton, a dirtbag, hitman, junkie, and absentee father who spent his life chasing the easy fix, drugs, cheap sex, and murder for money. Already sounds like a Rick Remender story, doesn't it?
Sounds like Tuesdays.
While failing the one person who still believes he can do better, his daughter. Now on the eve of Black Noon, an ancient darkness that erases the light in all things, also known as an eclipse.
also known as the hangover on Wednesday.
No shit. Mike has to drag himself out of the gutter, awaken a supernatural weapon powered only by love, and fight, this is so Rick Remender, and fight his way through the living embodiment of evil to save her. Reservoir Dogs collides with Evil Dead in a filthy crime story that mutates into a savage splatter horror nightmare from New York Times bestselling author Rick Remender. How is he a bestselling author? And acclaimed artist, this I'm giving him, Steve Epting.
So, can I just tell you that this was my third indie pick that was, like, my last choice if...
It was your last choice?
If Belle had taken the other one.
Oh, man. This was a hard one to grab because it was Remender, and I read the byline, and I'm like, I read the description, I'm like, this is such a Remender story. Oh, my God. What a Remender story. But Steve Epting, I mean, that's the guy from, you know, Captain America, the creation of the... Winter Soldier, all that stuff. That was Steve Epting working with Ed Brubaker, and God, I love his art. So it's worth. It's going to be pretty. It's going to be weird and not fun weird like Doug Wagner, but it's going to be weird. But yeah, it's going to look gorgeous. And then I do not know who is publishing this because this group we're working with doesn't put publishers where I can see them.
Right.
But I just like this Instant Noodles and Beyond. It's a soft cover coming out from Robin Haw. This fun and unique cookbook meets graphic novel is a love letter to instant noodles and their infinite versatility as a starting point for a satisfying, nutrient-packed meal. So you've got Robin Haw's playful and colorful illustrations and imaginative instant flavor combinations. Basically, it's going to elevate your bowl of cup of noodles with easy-to-follow detailed visual recipes that leave no room for cooking confusion. Plus, amusing anecdotes and comic strip-style essays explore the world of instant noodles from Japanese ramen and Korean ramyeon to South Asian noodles and mac and cheese, plus recipes to make instant noodles besties like kimchi, pickled radish, chili oil, and a marinated egg. I'm like, it's food and it's a graphic novel. Sign me up. I want to check it out. How about you, Jeff? What are your indie guys?
This one's coming from Mad Cave and Kirsten Thompson. And it's a YA, but thanks to John Green, I'm not allergic to YA. I don't go, oh, young adult, I'm not reading that. Because there's some really good YA shit getting written these days.
Some really good YA.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a time slip romance where love bridges a century, but history threatens to tear it apart. Basically, Sage, a first-year student in college, discovers a forgotten camera in the library archives and meets August, who was a student who walked the same halls 100 years earlier, and then they fall in love and do a mailbox thing like Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, okay.
And it just sounds sweet. And then, yes, of course, the literary masterpiece of the books that came before this, in which we are presented with the moral conundrums of a world that is out to get us. Battle Pug, Cosmic Dogacy.
Yes,
I love Battle Pug. Charles was like, you know, you want something funny to read once? He's like, check this out. And I did, and I have just been in love with Mike Norton stuff ever since. So this is, it picks up where Battle Pug War on Christmas left off. Oh my God, I love it. So, yeah, the Cosmic Dogacy.
Okay.
Sign me up.
Yep.
All right. I love it. All right. I love it.
And it's only $17. It's $16.99. So,
oh,
absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. I know Battle Pug I've read was bad.
All right. So, fair.
All right. What
fair.
About you? What about you, Jocelyn?
So I think this one's coming out from Bad Idea Cul-de-Sac. Essentially, Mrs. Kingsley takes the neighborhood kids for their annual summer camp out. But in the dark of the woods, she unleashes a grisly, blood-curdling display revealing their family's shocking secret. Their parents are vampires, and they're eager to pass on their legacy. Now the children must choose to join them and revel in their awesome dark powers or live out their lives as mortals. But when they return home, they confront a gruesome scene. Their parents dead on the floor, brutally murdered by an elite squad of vampire hunters. And the hunters, they're looking to finish the job. Now the kids are on the run, chased by vampire hunters, the police, and even a shadowy cabal of their fellow vampires as they search for answers to unlock the secrets of what they really are and before their fates are sealed forever. Doesn't that sound campy fun? That sounds like campy fun right there.
Yeah,
it's the littlest vampire meets Runaways. There we go.
Yeah, yeah. And then the pick that both JC and I had, in case Jeff didn't, and somehow he didn't, Denver number one coming out from Mad Cave.
That was one of my picks of the future.
Oh, that explains it. I thought it sounded familiar, so that does explain it.
Yeah.
It's coming out this week. In a near future world drowned by rising oceans, Denver survives as one of the last tightly controlled safe zones on the planet, where every resource is rationed and every citizen is monitored. Max Flynn, a veteran border officer struggling to protect his family under these unforgiving rules, is shattered when his wife is suddenly kidnapped. A mysterious enemy forces him to betray Denver from within or lose her forever. As Max assembles a trusted crew and descends into the city's underbelly, his desperate hunt threatens to expose the cracks in Denver's rigid order and ignite a reckoning that could end the last safe city on Earth.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Yeah. So that just sounds really, really good. And I'm
the waters
I'm here
rose,
for it.
And the only thing left was the Mile High City. I love it.
Right, right. The mountains saved it. Go figure.
Yep, yep.
So, yeah, that's what I've got for my picks of the week.
All right, we'll hop in the TARDIS, and we're going to head into October and give our picks of the future. All right, Joss, what is your pick of the future?
So from IDW, You'll Never Leave This Place Alive, number one. This is author Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly with art and illustrator Heather Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Five friends, four houses, one perfect life. Phoebe Joplin has never questioned the world her parents built, a secluded community where she and her friends were raised to be smarter, stronger, and better than anyone else. No distractions, no dangers, no secrets until the night of their graduation when one of them dies under impossible circumstances. Fee starts to pull at the edges of her perfect life and finds something far more terrifying than she ever imagined. Because this place isn't a sanctuary, it's a cage. And no one who discovers the truth ever leaves it alive. It sounds like some good horror mystery, and it's going to be October. So, good Lansing season for it.
Lansing and Kelly, authors on the Star Trek series that IDW publishes. So, yeah, it's... I'm like, this is one of the advantages of working with a publisher, an independent publisher, is, oh, I have a work. Are you guys interested? Yes, we are. We'll take it. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Because we know you.
Yeah. Sounds fantastic. I think I'll pick it up. How about you, Jeff? Yeah. What you got for a pick of the future?
One of my favorites is getting a re-release in a compact form, and that's Money Shot Volume 2. I talked about Money Shot Volume 1 when it came out not too long ago. This is Tim Seeley. It's the last one of these Sarah Beatty wrote on, and Patton Oswalt. It's wildly irreverent. I mean, it is borderline crass, and it just walks that edge so well. I really like it. And Sarah Beatty, kind of took a, she got the shit kicked out of her online and just disappeared from public. But, I mean, she wrote, she was a co-writer of Superman versus Lobo. And, of course, Money Shot. And she was a pretty little redhead. And she did some OnlyFans. And just, oh, man, Twitter just eviscerated her. And she disappeared and has worked on very little or anything since. So, you know, as long as she's still getting some residuals, I will keep buying stuff with her name on it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
You know, and Tim Seeley's fucking great. I mean, it's just, it's a wonderful creative team. So that's where I'm at right now. And that's coming out from Vault in October. What about you, sir?
We talked about it, I think, last week. And it's coming out here in October. So if you want it, you need to get into your local comic book shop and pre-order it. Remember, pre-order sales is how everything is done now. If pre-order sales are low, we've watched hit series get canceled. Critically acclaimed series get canceled because there weren't enough pre-orders for them. Because people are counting on, oh, well, it's this comic book. It's going to be on the shelves. No, it's not. It's not. That's not how comic shops work anymore. So you need to get in and order this one. And what is it? Star Trek Zero Point. Number one will be coming out. We talked about it last week. Raffi Musiker as the captain of the, what's the new ship? The Endeavor. Captain of the Endeavor. So with her first mate, Tendi. Commander Tendi from Lower Decks. So this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great story. It's going to tie in with the ongoing Star Trek series that's focused on the Enterprise G with Captain Seven of Nine. And they're, I mean, it's basically the same thing they did with Star Trek and Star Trek Defiant, where you had Star Trek with the return of Benjamin Sisko as captain of a ship. And then Worf was on as his first officer, then disagreed with him, took off, stole the Defiant, and basically had a rogue team that he worked with. So same kind of idea. It's like we're going to have two simultaneous series of running that will intersect with each other constantly throughout until they decide they're done writing this one. So that's how it's going to be. Yeah, check it out. Star Trek Zero Point number one. Make sure you order it now. Now, I say now. And that is it. So we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're headed to... Well, we're going to give some remembrance, and then we'll be in Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did, and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic, it's not about the software, and it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, well, we are back. Let's do a little bit of remembrance, because we've got some remembrance in the news. I want to get that out of the way right away before we talk about what we watched.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Fair.
Well, we got a lot of remembrance this week.
Which is why I wanted to hit that first.
Yeah. The first and probably loudest was the death of Hayden Panettiere. I always say her last name wrong.
Right.
Which we are given to believe was most likely overdose at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was 36 years old, and she's been having just a rough fucking time the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't believe, you know, my wife and I saw the story about, she basically revealed on social media that she had postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And Neutrogena dropped her. They fired her as their spokesmodel. I'm like, what the actual fuck, Neutrogena?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
folks, if you use Neutrogena products, maybe don't now, because that's some bullshit. They've since said, well, that was really insensitive of us. I'm like, you think, Warren Ellis, you think that was insensitive? Anyway, yeah, sorry. It just pissed me off.
I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. We could read through the quotes of other famous people who are finally paying attention to her again. It always feels really hollow when they're like, we were besties. And it's like, well, where the fuck were you? But no, see, we talked about it a couple months ago. I rewatched season one of Heroes.
Right. Yeah.
And she was great. I mean, she really carried it off, and she was good enough in Heroes that when she went on to Nashville, I actually gave it 3 episodes before I was like, what the fuck am I watching? And
Nashville was a soap opera around country stars. I'm like, none of this is going to interest me at all.
Right.
But Hayden Panettiere is a really good actor and I want to see something. So I watched a little bit of it and I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I know what this is going to be. I know how this is going to go. Somebody's going to die and come back to life at some point in this show if it goes on long enough. Yeah. But in the end, it's like she's great in it. She was great in it. It's the postpartum depression just really zapped her. And she wound up giving her kid to her ex-fiance because, you know, the baby daddy, because she's like, I can't take care of the baby with this postpartum. And it's just that thing that...
Well, It was postpartum psychosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
beyond depression.
Two or three steps beyond postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's just, And somebody called her out on it during an interview about, you know, giving her kid to the child's father. And she's just like, you think that was easy? That wasn't fucking easy. That was the hardest thing I've ever done. But, you know, she had the wherewithal.
Right thing to do when you have postpartum psychoses.
Yeah, she had the wherewithal to realize she was in trouble and to put the kid in the safest place the kid could go. She's a fucking hero for that. That is the hardest thing in the world to do.
Didn't we just have a whole big public case of a woman that had postpartum psychoses that murdered her children?
Oh, yeah. She's on trial right now.
Yeah. And it's like,
this
is something where, you need to surrender the child and get the help you need.
Yep.
And that was all there was to it. And I don't know. I read this and, you know, I think about Heroes and I'm like, we failed to save the cheerleader, guys. That's it. We as a society failed to save the cheerleader. So we didn't save the world.
So moving on, David Lamphere, a prolific comic book letterer who also worked across the industry for decades, has died unexpectedly. The news was shared by his sister, Tara, who described David as someone who, quote, knew half of the world, end quote, and said he was still working on projects with several creators at the time of his passing. His credit stretched across numerous publishers and titles, including Marvel, DC, CrossGen, and, of course, a bunch of indie comics. His letter and credits included projects like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Trial of Fire. Love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss Bang Bang was great. Was he did his lettering was really perfect on it.
Great job lettering that, because I remember it was easy to read. Roger McKenzie.
That's the thing about letterers. When they do their job right, you don't notice it.
Yep.
You
know? Yep. Roger McKenzie, Daredevil and Captain America writer, has passed at the age of 75. This was on his official Facebook page. Passed away the morning of Friday, August 21st. He'd been dealing with end-stage heart failure and kidney disease for several months. Died peacefully while in hospice care. He was best known for his run on Marvel's Daredevil, 151 through 166, from 78 to 80, which saw the introduction of Ben Urich in issue 153, and then Frank Miller joined the series as the artist in 158. He wrote Captain America, Ghost Rider, Battlestar Galactica. Those I've actually read.
Yep.
Marvel Fanfare, and a lot. Received a story credit when Roger Stern and John Byrne used some of his Captain America stuff in 250. But yeah, it's he passed away, and that's...
He was going strong in the 70s. He was a very, he was a prolific writer for Marvel. You probably have read his work and didn't even realize it if you've picked up any old Marvel stuff from the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I look at the photo of him and I'm glad. I'm like, he had to wear that McKenzie hat because otherwise everybody's going to confuse him for Doug Jones because he kind of looked like Doug Jones in that photo there.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. The ironically named Frank Beard.
Right?
Drummer,
absolutely.
Drummer of, I am not saying this, the rock trio ZZ Top has passed away, shaved faced, at 77 years old.
No beard.
He didn't need to grow a beard because his name was Beard. That was what they always said.
Yeah, so. The other two were just trying to keep up.
Yep.
He was in hospice care when he died Tuesday at his ranch in Richmond, Texas, with family members at his side. Dun dun dun. So that sucks. I still like ZZ Top. I mean,
I love ZZ Top. Yeah.
Talk about misogyny in rock form. At least they were upfront about it.
Yeah. It was like right
there.
They
were honest. I mean,
yeah.
Who's the guy?
Who's that guy with a, on my Kilts and Culture page? He had a big old beard and he was wearing a kilt, but he had a black jacket and then a fedora on. And he's like, what do you think of this outfit? And my response was, you look like a sharp-dressed man. Yeah, because he looked like Billy Gibbons. Yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say, Jeff?
Marshala Ali popped up as I seek into the next story and was like, hey, canceling Wonder Man and Blade? That's pretty shitty optics, Disney.
Yep. Yeah, that don't look good, Disney.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely agree. And then Yahya Abdul-Mateen II got an Emmy nomination for Wonder Man. Didn't even know that anybody had nominated him.
Well-deserved, too.
Oh, yeah, such a great series. He's absolutely in Doomsday, right? Doesn't he pop up in Doomsday?
I hope so.
I do, too.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I just, it's, you put him on the shelf of white privilege with fucking Shang-Chi. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how it is. I want a Shang-Chi sequel so fucking bad. You know, so does...
More critically acclaimed and grossed more money than most of the series that have gotten a sequel already.
Yeah.
Right. Marvel. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then if you thought... You know what? No. Let's carry this one over to Patreon.
Okay.
We can carry this one into Patreon, and we can talk about it as we talk about what we watch. So.
Yep.
Let's talk about what we watched this week on the TVs. Real quick review, and then we can hit on Strange New Worlds a little bit. So, Joss, what did you watch?
Fair. So I didn't know that my cute, adorable mother loves The Big Bang Theory. Now, personally, not the hugest fan. I am fond of the clips that I see on social media of The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, yeah.
But to sit down and watch an episode, it grates on me, and I can't explain why, and I won't be taking any further questions. However, after Jeff's glowing review of Stewart fails to save the universe, I made that suggestion to my mother on Friday night for our viewing tastes, and we went through all five episodes that are up right now. So, needless to say, if you're a fan of The Big Bang Theory, you're going to like this like four times as much as I do, but I really enjoy it. I laugh out loud.
Wasn't
it
fun?
It is just stupidly fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Just every minute of it.
I'm going to watch the fifth episode tonight after Lanterns.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I can't wait for it. Really looking forward to it.
I tried to suggest that we watch like two episodes of that and then watch Lanterns, and we didn't do that. So that's okay. We're up to date on Stewart. How about you though, Jeff? What do you have to bring up?
Well, I mean, just burning through them really quick. Mortal Kombat 2. It was terrible. It was fucking awful. And Urban was a delight the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Johnny fucking Cage. And he's just like, yeah, you are, man. Fucking great.
Okay. Yeah, now I know. Now I'm with you. I was like, when did that come out? Oh, just recently.
Right. I was popping over to see if Stewart Failed to Save the Universe had a new episode. And it didn't, because I got my week all wrong. Mm-hmm. And saw Mortal Kombat 2. And I was like, what? You know what? I'll give Bones another chance. And it was great. A movie called Icefall with our favorite Rick Flagg in it. I can't remember the actor's name all of a sudden. Basically, he's a drifter that is living off the land on a very snowy res high in the north. And the whole thing takes place on a frozen lake, which makes it terrifying. But it's basically bad guys with guns versus game warden, Native American game warden, and you know, super survival hobo. And it turns out it was a lot of fun. I never heard of it.
I'll take it.
But I enjoyed it. And then Lanterns.
Oh, my God. Wow, what an episode. Holy shit.
I am in it. Even Tiffany liked it.
I was like, they could have done that as a single episode. We would have been like, what? Wait, what? Tell us more. But at the same time, they told us everything in that one episode. I was like, holy shit, this is going to be good.
It was so fucking good.
Best pilot I've seen of any series in a long, long time. Yeah.
What's his name playing Hal Jordan is amazing. Yeah. You know, the guy playing
Kyle
John
Channing, isn't Kyle, it?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's Channing.
Channing or Chandler? Channing? I don't care. He's got money. I don't. He can fuck off. He's really good. The guy playing Jon Stewart is amazing. I can't wait for Nathan Fillion to show up. The lady who was in Trainspotting, who's playing the sheriff, was amazing.
Yeah.
I should have brought the IMDb up for this one.
That's the love of my life, Kelly MacDonald.
That is Kelly MacDonald. Yes.
And it is Kyle Chandler.
I will forever love Kelly MacDonald. 100%.
Yeah, me too.
When she did the voice in Brave, I was now in love with the Disney princess, you know, because it was Kelly MacDonald.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that. Ted Lasso is Ted Lassoing. I'm just wishing I got more. I wishing I could binge the season, but it's too late now. I got to go week to week.
Such a perfect Ted Lasso episode, too. I mean,
but the ending, that last fucking line was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, no spoilers, but that last line like soured the entire feel good I got from that scene. And I know it was supposed to, because this entire fucking season is about rampant misogyny, but it's still, I'm just like, what the fuck? What a weird way to end a Ted Lasso episode. And I'm intrigued for the next one.
All right, fair.
Yeah.
With Mini-Me going back to school this week, we are way behind on Ted Lasso. It's been a little stressful around here.
Yeah, I'll bet. And then I had occasion to go back.
All the more stressful because you're not watching Ted Lasso. Right. All the more stressful.
Yep. Yeah. I had occasion to go back in time and watch Batman from 1989.
Aw, lucky.
And then I watched The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan's second Batman movie.
Ooh.
That's all going to be talked about on Gen Zex later this week here in the Defenestrate Media Network. That'll be over at theleftshow.com. The more I think about it, the more I wonder why it's not here on thecomicbookpodcast.com, because it seems it fits in better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Feels like a child show of ours, you know, because we've had Braxton as a member of the show.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You guys just watched me have an epiphany.
Yeah, you know, I truly did.
Yeah.
Those gears ground pretty hard.
I feel like I should have put that on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Let's see. We had the final episode for this season of My Adventures with Superman, which was really cool and really harsh for an animated series. I mean, especially when intended for kids. I was like, wow, this one got pretty deep. So it's worth watching. Of course, Ted Lasso, trying, and then I've just not had, some of the shows I count on to catch. I didn't catch many. Lanterns, of course, but then I saw that, Netflix, we had the new season of Dark Winds dropped on Netflix from AMC. So I am sure you all watched it on AMC, but I don't have cable. So, yeah, it was Dark Winds with Zahn McLaren. And yep. I love that guy. I could watch him read the phone book. He's so talented. And at the same time, I love Dark Winds. So, yeah, good old, now I forget his name. I kept saying it over and over again yesterday to my wife, and I can't remember his name, the author of all the novels that were written about the Navajos back in the day. And then, of course, we had Strange New Worlds.
So good.
And we get The Muppet Show, or actually the Muppet movies. And you can just take your pick on a Muppet movie, because they had elements from every single Muppet movie that made me, that, you know, all the little moments that were clearly straight out of Muppets made me chuckle.
Right.
But I felt like they didn't go far enough with the Muppeting.
Okay.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, but okay. Yeah,
which is hard to say. It's hard to explain it. It's basically I needed less things where I'm like, now come on, to, okay, no, I'm just accepting this because it's 100% zany Muppet capers. You know, and then the ending was too much of a cop out for me. I wanted a different ending. So that was all.
Okay. I mean,
not to say I didn't enjoy the hell out of this show. Laughed all the way through. Had a great time. Pelia's puppet was my favorite, with the noodly hair. And when she threw her boots at somebody, and so she wound up barefoot, like what's her name in Holly Hunter's character,
mm-hmm,
in Academy. And they're both Lamphonites, so it was just funny to have her suddenly barefoot. I mean, she was barefoot every time you saw her, she had barefoot puppet feet. That was hilarious after that. And she was tiny. She was shorter than everybody else. But my all-time favorite Muppet in that whole one, because these were Jim Henson Creature puppets.
Right.
Can't call them Muppets, apparently, legally, but these were Jim from Jim Henson Creature Shop. My favorite to watch when you see this, Jocelyn, is pay attention to the little navigator. There's a navigator.
Okay.
Because we lost our regular mainstay navigator. I guess she transferred off or moved to Beta Shift or something. But this navigator they had, when he gets turned into a Muppet, he just was cracking me up because he doesn't have any lines. But oh my God, it's hilarious to watch him. Oh,
all right.
My God,
I'm excited.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, he ate scenes. It was great.
Oh, God. Whenever he, and I mean, and the things that happen to him, you're just laughing and laughing and laughing. So yeah, it's wonderful. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited because I knew this one was coming and I'm a huge fan. So
we didn't know what it would be because all we ever saw was Muppet Pike.
Right.
So
right.
Like, is this going to be like that episode of Angel where Angel turned into a Muppet? You know, what's it going to be? And then we get this, and it was like, holy shit, this is crazy and zany and fun and needed to be even more crazy, zany, and fun. And, but at the same time, oh, and I also felt like as the actors did their voiceover, some of them were phoning it in. And I hate to say, I felt like Anson Mount was phoning it in a little bit in a couple of scenes.
I just think you put somebody in a booth with a microphone and that's not their gig. They're not going to be great. It reminds me of Anson Mount singing. I don't think he sings a lot. So
he's been the voice of Batman in a couple of the Batman DC animated movies. So he can do it. It just, I wonder if the takes they got of him were, they made him do it like 50 times. And this was the take they took where he's just like, just worn out from all of it.
Yeah.
I could imagine that happened, particularly if he's been dealing with new baby and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Paleo was great. Pike's hair was great. La'an was great. I mean, it was I enjoyed it, and it ended exactly the way I thought it would. Mm-hmm. And so I won't call it a disappointment. I will call it ended softer than I was hoping.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm fine with the ending. It makes sense.
I had a better rewrite in my head after I watched it that I was like, yeah, you could have done it this way. And because I really feel like when you do that, every lesson learned isn't going to carry forward. You know what I mean? And it was like, I'm like that because the whole point of this series is, yes, it's episodic, but the characters don't always stay in status quo. They grow as the show grows, you know, as the show goes on. Which is very different from Next Gen, where you went back to status quo 100%. Everybody was exactly the way they were. There was very little growth between. You know, Worf was always a bad parent because he never fucking learned a lesson. He was always a bad parent from one episode to the next, you know. And the actors just did it because it's like, that's the job. Those are the lines. They say DLP. We're DLP. DLP means dead letter perfect when it comes to your dialogue. And so, yeah, it was like there was never any growth in the characters. It was so slow, and it took forever for the characters to show any growth. You know, it was seasonal to get growth. This one, it's episode by episode they grow. And so I felt like, you're not really going to get the growth that we should have seen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, that was my take on it. But I think we're at the end. So we are going to invite you to join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia, where every week we give you extra content. This week, I'm going to ask a question based upon something that Jeff said on Gen Zex. And if you're not listening to Gen Zex, you're missing out. But he talked about how his first time Hollywood really showed him that they could disappoint him was when he watched The Black Cauldron.
Yep.
And it got me thinking about the first time Hollywood truly hurt me and disappointed me with, you know, taking one of my beloved properties and turning it into a film or a television series. In my case, it was a television series. So we're going to talk about that. What was it that really, you know, what are those moments where Hollywood's just really hurt you? And then we've got a little bit extra on this Star Trek episode, because the guest stars on this Star Trek episode are pretty fucking cool. So we're going to do all that on Patreon at patreon.com/dfanmedia. Join us there, where we are trying to build ourselves up from a Patreon squad to a Patreon platoon at patreon.com/dfanmedia. In the meantime, I am going to say, as I always do, until Colton steals all the nukes, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Asgard. Oh, I did it. I went fast. I went too fast.
Yep.
Do it again. I'm sorry.
For Stan.
And then for Asgard. That's how we do this. And I fucked it up. That's what I did.